Jesus has given us a lasting and perfect, almost as perfect as we can get, encounter with him in the Most Holy Eucharist. True flesh, true blood, life within us. But as we talked about yesterday, that is meant to have an effect. The effect is radical transformation and a little bit of crazy apostolic zeal. It's supposed to have the effect in us as it did in Paul and Peter. I started reading the Acts again in our men's group last night. It's extraordinary. Please read slowly. As a history book, yes, number one, that happened as it's stated. This isn't Book of Revelation where you have to have a degree in mysticism and theology to begin to understand what the heck is going on. This is fact, and it's extraordinary. And it's a history book, but not one that's frozen in time. It's also a playbook. It's what our life is supposed to look like. And this encounter with Jesus that he has given us here for the effect of having life in us that is meant to lead to transformation is to look like what happened to Peter and Paul. And Peter was given the privilege, as you read in early Acts, of being the first one to perform a miracle after the resurrection. After the impartation of the Holy Spirit, which is renewed here, Peter goes out and he heals the lame beggar. And he says, I don't have anything to offer you, silver or gold. I've given everything over. But I have this. Rise. Walk. It happened. 3,000 people were converted that day. Because of the transformation that happened to Peter. You know, this is just a few moments after what? After Peter experienced his radical poverty and denied his Savior thrice. Not long after. I was like, well, let me get my affairs in order, Jesus, and then you can use me. Maybe in a couple years when I'm better. Get my stuff figured out. No. Radical failure. Abysmal failure. After having proclaimed, I will die for you. Radical failure. He experiences absolute poverty. Met Jesus on the day of resurrection. Swam to him. Ran to him. Was reaffirmed in his love. Jesus said, now let me give you the Spirit and just go. Go. You've met me. That's me. Now you know me. Go. And he comes across a lame beggar. I don't have much to give you except for this. Boom! Jesus, rise. And 3,000 were converted. That sound fun? Imagine 3,000. In the cathedral, this Sunday, because of some radical manifestation of God's power, because he had a vehicle that was so poor that he had nothing to give of himself but Jesus. I won't ever have to ask for money again if we can get 3,000 in within the next calendar year. I'm crazy, I know. If only we could dare to hope. And Paul, not much different, is it? Yeah, I was the one who was killing them. And then I met Jesus. He stayed some days with the disciples in Damascus, and he began at once to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue that he's the Son of God. Didn't have to wait, get over his regret, his resentment, his self-pity. No, he said, I met you. Okay. Jesus said, now go. Tell him about me. In whatever convincing, beautiful way, and Paul became all things to all. He had a multitude of options of ways. They met him. We meet him. The real him. That just needs empty vessels, broken, poor, self-emptied vessels to do extraordinary work. And how many did Paul convert? Tens of thousands. That was just the beginning. So we need to pray for that transformation of heart, the emptiness of soul in the good way, so that the power of Jesus can really be made manifest again for the conversion of thousands. I'd take three this week. Let's settle for three. Not 3,000. Let's do three. We'll start small and then work it up. We need to pray for this radical transformation of our own hearts to do what Peter and Paul did. History and our playbook. Jesus, please do this in us. We need your help. As Peter and Paul did, please do this in us.